We turn together tonight in the scriptures to Psalm 143. Our text tonight will be verse 8. It was about a month ago that two of the young people in our church made confession of their faith and asked for verse 11 of this psalm, "Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness." And then just a few weeks ago, a couple who's been married in our church chose for their wedding text verse 8 of the psalm, and that has been on my mind and heart. So we'll look into it tonight. Psalm 143 is a psalm of David. "Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. In thy faithfulness, answer me, and in thy righteousness. And enter not into judgment with thy servant. For in thy sight shall no man living be justified. For the enemy hath persecuted my soul. He hath smitten my life down to the ground. He hath made me to dwell in darkness as those that have been long dead. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land, Selah. Hear me speedily, O Lord. My spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. Deliver me, O Lord, from my enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake, for thy righteousness' sake. Bring my soul out of trouble. And of thy mercy cut off my enemies, and destroy all them that afflict my soul. For I am thy servant." We read in verse 10, "Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee." Do you pray in the morning? At the beginning of your day? Is there a moment before you set out for work or for school or take up the duties of the household? Is there a moment that before you pick up the load that you must carry this day, that in the morning you seek the face of your God, that you seek His strength, that you ask Him to speak to you about His loving kindness for you and to guide you in the way of holiness for this day and to take care of your soul? Or do you and I, because of the busyness and the pressures and the stress and the anxiety, dash out because there's no time? Do you and I enter into a day, and what a sacred gift that is, a day? Do we walk into this day without any purpose, without any clear spiritual direction? Do we walk into a new day carrying the load of stress and responsibilities on our own, thoughtless of God. At what time of the day do you have your first thought of God? Prayer is needed. Prayer is needed throughout the day. We sang from Psalm 55, verse 17, "Evening, morning, and noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice." 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, "Pray without ceasing." That is, throughout your whole day, not necessarily with folded hands, but throughout the whole day, with every question or issue, lift up your soul in prayer to God. Pray. You can pray anytime. You can pray at any moment in your work. You can pray as you face any demand or any struggle or a disobedient child or whatever it may be. You can pray at that very moment to God. But the scriptures also teach us that there are to be for you and me a set time, set times in our day of prayer. A time when you put your hammer or your trowel down. A time when you say to your secretary, "Hold the calls." A time when you pull the truck over, perhaps, to the side of the road, and you come to God in a conscious prayer. And the scriptures say this must be true of the beginning of the day. In the Old Testament tabernacle, we learn that incense was to be burned in the tabernacle of God in the morning and at night. You remember that the altar of incense stood before the veil that separated the holy place from the most holy place, where was the Ark of the Covenant, the presence of God. And Aaron and his sons were to burn incense, that is, perfumed smoke, which would rise up and go where they could not go. They could not go into that holy place. But the incense would enter into the holy place, and God would say, "I will smell it, and it shall be pleasing to me." Exodus chapter 30, verse 7, "And Aaron shall burn there on that altar sweet incense every morning and at evening, a perpetual institute before the Lord throughout your generations." That incense represented prayer. We just sang Psalm 141. "My prayer shall be set before thee as incense." It represents that our prayers go to the throne of God, where we can't go physically now, but our prayers will bring us there. And it represents our asking God for grace and wisdom and strength for the day. Do you pray at the beginning of your day? Do I pray at the beginning of my day? The psalmist said, we sang from Psalm 5, "My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer to thee, and I will look up." Lord, says the psalmist, you can count on this. You will hear from me in the morning. You say, "I'm not a morning person. It takes me a while to wake up. I need my cup of coffee. The older I get, it takes longer to figure out, to get the cobwebs out." Yes, we're all different. We all wake up different. God made us all different. But for every one of us, every young person, you, every child, every parent, every one of us, there is a moment when you have started your day. You have started your day as a child of the King in the midst of this world, as one who is going to walk through this day in his path to heaven. As you start the day, do we pray? Before you can face your class that you teach, before you can deal with the children as they come out of their room, rubbing the sleep out of their eyes. Before you get out of the pickup and face the job. Before you sit down at your desk in school, do you pray? At the close of the day, we often look back on our day and we say sometimes it didn't go well. I'm very frustrated at everything that happened. I had a bad day. I was in a bad attitude. Things didn't go well for me today. Did you and I pray at the beginning of that day to hear the voice of God's loving kindness? The theme will be a prayer for the beginning of the day. Following this text, we're going to see that we pray for three things. First of all, we pray for the voice of His loving kindness. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning. He wants to hear God speak loving kindness to him. Number two, we pray for guidance in holiness. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk. And number three, we pray that God will keep our soul safe. For I lift up my soul to thee. David could not think of entering into a day, of taking a step into his day, without being assured first that he had heard from God through prayer the voice of his loving kindness. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. I depend upon thee. And depending upon thee, I need from thee in the morning to hear thy voice of loving kindness. And David was that way because David in Psalm 143 is a repentant sinner. And repentant sinners who have been greatly converted by God feel that they can't enter into a day. They cannot take on a day without hearing first the strong voice of God's compassions and mercy. Psalm 143 is one of the seven penitent psalms of David that he wrote when God had brought him to repentance from the murder of his friend, his cold, calculated murder of his friend Uriah and his wanton adultery with Uriah's wife Bathsheba. In this psalm, David is remembering that moment when, under the ministry of Nathan the prophet, he had been convicted when the Holy Spirit slew him. You remember that for a long period of time, David took the shield of his pride to hold up before God. He would not have anybody speak to him about his sin. But God, with the hammer of his word, crushed his pride. And he saw his sin. And verse 6 tells us that he spread his hands out before God and he pleaded for mercy. He told God that his spirit was overwhelmed, that he had to hear the voice of God's forgiveness. He says he can't go on this way anymore. Verse 7, hear me speedily, O Lord. My spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like them that go down to the pit. It wasn't true, but David felt, so long as he went on in his sin, that God turned his face from him, would not look at him. In mercy, he had come to the moment that he said, I need to hear the voice of his loving kindness and the wonder of his grace, or my soul will sink to the pit. It will be a damned soul. And so he does not vacillate. He does not hesitate. He does not hesitate between God and other sources of relief for his soul. He does not spend any time thinking about excuses and cover-ups and justifications and all the rest, but with vehement desire that a repentant sinner knows. A repentant sinner knows about this. With a vehement desire, he goes to one place. He goes to the throne of God and he says, I have to hear the voice of loving kindness. And I would direct you and I would direct me from this word of God. And I would direct everyone here who by grace, whose hope is in Jesus Christ and knows yourself with your sins and troubles, I would direct you to turn immediately to God. Don't hesitate. Don't dawdle. Do you have burdens? Are relationships in your life complicated because of your failures? Do you wrestle tonight with sorrow in your soul? Do you feel the guilt of what you have done? Go to God. Do not hesitate. Do not go to other helpers. There is one source. Bring your prayer to God. Close the door. Enter your chamber. Psalm 34, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and delivered him from all his troubles. Now David can only venture as a repentant sinner into a new day. He won't put his foot out the door until he has heard through prayer the voice of God's loving kindness. What does that mean? The voice of his loving kindness, or cause me to hear in the morning thy loving kindness. The loving kindness of God is a truth that you'll find throughout the whole Bible, especially in the Old Testament. It's a word that's not in the vocabulary of men. Even a new computer spell checker misspelled. You can't put those two words together, loving kindness, two separate things. But every believer knows the language of God. Loving kindness of my God is more than life to me. The voice of God's loving kindness is the gospel. It is the good news of God's amazing grace in Jesus Christ for those who now see themselves as utterly unworthy and unforgivable. It's the voice of the gospel in Jesus Christ of forgiveness in the precious blood of God's own Son. And upon that blood, the ordering of God of every event in their life in mercy. The word of God's loving kindness is the word that you hear at the foot of the cross of Jesus Christ. Its source is the cross. You have to come to the cross. And you need to hear the words that rather than we should perish, God has given his Son to bear the debt of our sins and to give us eternal riches. Kindness is an act. Kindness is not just an emotion. It is not a thought. It is not synonymous per se with sympathy or pity, but when you are kind, you have done something. Kindness is a premeditated act. It is a thought-out act. It is an act of help. It is an act of undeserved help to one who is helpless. Loving kindness tells us that this act of God found its source in his love. And so we may say that God's loving kindness is Jesus. It's his voice through the gospel of the grace of God in Jesus Christ. And to hear it means that the Holy Spirit has opened your heart and you have heard personally through faith the loving kindness of your God. This loving kindness lifts our head. This loving kindness breathes strength into our hearts. This loving kindness soothes our sorrows. It puts strength into our legs, clarity into our mind. If you, as a child of God, are to perform any activity as a child of God, if you are to bear any burden, if you are to do anything, you must hear first the voice of his loving kindness. If you are to fight your sin, if you are to serve God, if you are to have strength for your calling, what God wants you to do as a mother, as a father, as a young person, God calls you to something in a day. If you are to find strength to do it, you must first hear the voice of his loving kindness. David knew that. Psalm 32, when he did not confess his sins, he uses these words: all the day long thy hand was heavy upon me. My bones were being broken. It felt as if I had a ton of bricks on my heart. But when he heard the voice of God's loving kindness, he could go out and serve God. That's why he wants to hear it in the morning. He wants to hear it in the morning because the morning is when the load of the day falls upon our shoulders. In the morning, we see the path that we have to take to get to the other side, called the evening. There are the responsibilities that God gives us, the challenges, the callings, the things that we're looking up against today. These things fall before us, the things that we must do. They come to our mind in the morning. And when these things come to us, very often we want to roll over and stay in bed. We want to go back to sleep. We can't think of putting our foot out of bed and standing up. We want to get away from it. Sometimes, literally, that's true. We can't bear the thought of that day. We can't get out of bed. But beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, young girls and young men, husbands and wives, children, those who struggle with anxiety, those who feel, whoever we are, we feel overwhelmed, depressed, widower and widower, grieving of heart. Before you can get out of bed, before you can face a day, your confidence, your strength is the voice of his loving kindness. This is our strength. This is our wisdom. And to hear it, cause me to hear thy loving kindness, is the reference in the text to prayer. He's not referring to an inner mystic voice, as if we think there's going to be someday this voice in the wind that God's going to speak to us, and then suddenly everything's going to be clear. But the voice that we hear is the voice of God in our hearts as he speaks to us in prayer. Prayer is two-sided. In the morning, there are voices that turn on. We hear them. I'm not talking about the radio. I'm talking about voices within us. How can I do this? Look at everything I need to do. There's not enough hours in this day for me to accomplish this stuff. Another voice that we hear is the voice of the devil. We hear him. He's an early riser. He's alert in the morning. And the devil says, it's not fair. You know, it's not really fair what you have to put up with today. It's not really fair of everything that's being expected of you. There's no consideration for you. You don't have to put up with that today. But the voice of his loving kindness is heard through prayer. Isaiah 65 says, while you are yet speaking, I will answer. We struggle about an answer. Well, the answer of prayer is not that you pray, you fold your hands, and you open your eyes, and oh wow, everything has changed. That's not the answer of prayer. The answer of prayer is God, as you come to him, his testimony speaking into your heart of his loving kindness. I can do no better in explaining this than quoting from one of the songs the Hope Herald Choir sang last Sunday night, entitled In This Hour. If you were there, it was the song that had the refrain, in this hour, precious hour, I have met redemption's power. It went like this: walls I build dissolve away in this hour when I pray. Then gentle words between us flow, his start easy, mine start slow. But patiently he listens close to every burden I disclose. He helps me with the words I cannot say. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief. In this hour, precious hour, I have met compassion's power. In this place, holy space, I have seen amazing grace. Through prayer, we meet compassion's power. We hear the voice of his loving kindness. You need to hear it in the morning. If we don't, the day will be a disaster. One word of application before we come to the second point, and that word of application is that since this is true, that we as a repentant sinner cannot go in the strength of God into a new day without having heard his loving kindness. That is true. But since that's true, What kind of words from you does your spouse need to hear in the morning? What kind of word from you, me, do your kids need to hear in the morning? What kind of word does that other kid on the bus need to hear from you in the morning? What kind of word do they need to hear from you when you walk down the hall of the school in the morning? If we can't face the day without the words of loving kindness from God, what words then do your loved ones need to hear from you in the morning? Don't talk to me. Or maybe even berating each other. Or maybe even pounding each other as husband and wife before we go out the door. Harsh, sharp words. Do we talk to our spouse, husband or wife, do you talk to them the way God talks to you? And if God would talk to us as we talk to our spouse, how would your day go? We need the voice of His loving kindness. And His loving kindness experienced as a repentant sinner must be the voice that we speak. But David goes on in his morning prayer, now for guidance in holiness. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk. We ask the question, how will hearing the voice of God's kindness in the morning through prayer affect and shape our day? What impact will morning prayer bring to the day? What difference will it make? And the answer is, you will walk in holiness. You will have the power of God to walk close to God, which means that you will be holy. You will desire to be holy. You will find strength against your temptations. You will become more, yes, we're sinners, but more Christ-like. You will become more God-glorifying in your day. Morning prayer will direct the course of your day. It will guide you. It will alert you to temptations. It will remind you of your calling to be a blessing unto others. It will guard your mind and your heart that they stray not into evil paths. You see, David, repentant David, did not want to go back to his sin again. He could not bear the thought of doing it again and losing again the state of his assurance, and that God's face was hidden from him. And he knew how prone he was to his besetting sins. So he prayed, cause me to hear the voice of thy loving kindness so that I might be guided in this day. Let the love of God for me guide me, not the lusts of my flesh. Cause me to know the way when I should walk. I think that on first glance, I think I may say generally, just reading it, we would first think, when we hear these words, cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, we would think first, oh, this is asking God for guidance in the big questions. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, the big decisions, give me guidance. Or show me the plan for my life. Is it Grand Valley or is it Calvin? Is it a medical field or is it business? Is it marriage or should I break up? Should I buy the house or stay in the one I got? Should I get a new job or should I retire? Instead of volleyball, should I go in for basketball? And yes, God does guide us in the big questions, in the big decisions that we have to face. And God does guide us in those decisions with the voice of His loving kindness, so that all of these decisions over college, over job, over calling, your calling in life, over marriage, you answer those in the light of God's loving kindness. You're always asking, so what way, what vocation will enable me to serve Him best? Not what will fill my wallet, but what will give me to serve Him. But David is not talking about big questions, big decisions. Show me the plan. And we can be overwhelmed by those big decisions and show me the plan. But David, as a repentant sinner, is telling us, as important as those things are, there is something more pressing. There's something more important for you than those questions. What am I supposed to do with my life? There's something more important than that. That's the second question you ask in the morning. The first question you ask is, how am I to walk today? As one who has received His loving kindness. The first question is not, am I to be a surgeon or an anesthesiologist? Am I to be a nurse or an architect? Are the stock markets going to go up and I should buy or should I sell? Should I make a bid on this particular job or let it go? Those aren't the first questions for the morning. But the first question for the morning of any day is, Lord, guide me today in the way of righteousness to the glory of Thy name. David is asking for practical understanding how he can live today in godliness. He's praying about one day. He's praying about the importance of today. This day. He's asking about his walk. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, not talk, how I should walk. And walk here is not synonymous with calling. It's not synonymous with the big plan of God for your life. Walk is how you live. How you live from the heart. And our walk, according to Scripture, is not the outward appearance. As important as that might be, our walk is not the outward appearance. Your walk is how you live from your heart. And he's saying, Lord, give me to hear your loving kindness in this morning, and so that I may direct my life today, my walk today, so that my foolish heart does not lead me out of thy way, but that I'm always responding and hearing the voice of your loving kindness. David is saying, whatever I have to do today, I'm not getting out of the range of hearing God's loving kindness. My family gave me a birthday gift, one of these wireless things that go around your neck. It goes with your iPhone, and you can, as you know, download your books and you don't need any wire. And so I like to listen to a book while I mow the lawn. So I got it on my phone, turned up the volume, put the plugs in, set my iPhone down, started mowing the lawn. Got to the end of the yard, first stripe, can't hear. Must be something wrong with this thing. No battery. Start walking back to the garage. Oh, I can hear it. Oh, I have to have the phone closer to me. I have to keep the phone in my pocket, and then I will hear. You can't get in your thinking during the day so far away that you're not hearing, you're out of range of God's loving kindness. You need to get back to the cross. There you get reception. At the foot of the cross, you get reception. As a lowly sinner, you get reception. You hear His loving kindness, and then you are guided for the day. My attitude, the disposition of my spirit, how I will respond to what is happening. I need to hear the voice of His loving kindness. It will give me wisdom. My response, because the cement truck is low, or my spouse sins, or news comes to me of great heartache. Temptations. There's only one way to overcome our besetting sins. Compassion's power to hear the voice of His loving kindness. David's deliverance the night in which he committed adultery and plotted to murder Uriah, when that lust came to slay him. David's defense that day was not his servants nailing the door that led up to the roof so he couldn't go up there and look. Because sinners know how to get around things like that. It might have impeded, but it won't stop us. It won't stop us. What will stop me? It was this. For David, when on my bed I rest at night and meditate on thee, because thy hand assistance beneath the covert of thy wings, my heart shall joyful be. It was the knowledge of God's loving kindness. Young people, I won't go into this, but I want you to just think hard. I want you to just remember this. Grace, pure sovereign grace, is not a license for sin. It's the only power to resist it. Grace is not a license for sin. The knowledge of God's grace is the only power to fight it. Do you ask God in the morning to be a holy person? Guard thou my thoughts, I thee implore, and of my lips keep thou the door. Nor lead my sinful heart to stray where evil footsteps lead the way. Do you find it hard today to put away sinful thoughts? Do you find it hard to do the right thing that day in the classroom? There was something that you knew needed to be done, the right thing. Do you find it hard in the day to show compassion to someone who's irritating you? Do you find it hard in the day to put away your anger? Do you get down in a day and by 3 p.m., 6 p.m., that's it. I'm out of gas. Everything is down. Is your spiritual tank empty at 11 o'clock in the morning? Is one day's walk with Jesus as he leads us this day in holiness, it's too far to make it to the end of that day? Beloved, did we begin that day in prayer? Did we ask him in the morning, Lord, say it again. I've heard it before. Say it again. Thy loving kindness. I'm not going out the door until I hear it. And then finally, David is praying in the morning for the safekeeping of his soul. He says, "For I lift my soul to thee." And those words, "I lift my soul to thee," as I said last Sunday, could well mean lifting up all of that's in his soul to God. All of his needs, all of his stress, all of the weight of his soul, he's lifting it to God. But I don't think it means that here. I think that David means exactly what he says. I lift my soul to thee. I put my soul today in the hands of God for keeping. Because David knew that he couldn't keep it himself. And he needed to do this consciously throughout the day, but he needed to do it consciously in the morning. Watch over my soul. As a teenager, on a given day, David lifted up his soul to God in the morning. Around noon of that day, David descended into a valley to Fiant, who was rushing at him in rage with spear and sword. And the spear and sword of Goliath was strewn on the ground beside his dead corpse and his head, because David had heard the voice of God's loving kindness in the morning. As a man of 50 or more years as a king, on a given day, David lifted up his soul to vanity. He was proud. The armies of Israel didn't need him to fight. It was nothing but success after success. Joab can handle the situation. We're pretty much invincible now through my leadership. He lifted up his heart to vanity. He didn't go fight. And when he lifted up his heart to pride, his heart was seized by lust. And before another day came, he had taken another man's wife and was plotting the man's death. Because in that morning, David did not hear the voice of God's loving kindness to a sinner. And now he's praying, Lord, there's only one place for my soul today. I can't put my soul in what I'm hearing on the radio. I can't put my soul on what I'm seeing. I can't put my soul anywhere except in thy hands. It's safe today. Only when my soul consciously is in the hand of God. My soul is safe. No matter what will happen in that day. A young couple in Oklahoma, Christian couple, on the first day of their marriage, were killed in a car crash. A wife and mother of three children, on the 24th week of her pregnancy, died from brain cancer, and her pre-born child is critical. A day like any other day begins. And in that day, God takes a dear daughter. A day begins, but before it ends, a husband dies and he will not come home again. How do you prepare for that? Cause me to hear the voice of thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift my soul to thee. Pray that in the morning, and truly, truly, it will make your day. Amen. Grant, O Lord, grace through thy word, that we may vow with the psalmist in the morning, thou shalt hear my voice arise. Teach us to enter each day after prayer, asking thee that we might have the assurance of grace, marvelous grace, compassion's power, that we may be having them to lead a holy life, and that our soul will never stray from thee. That we may pray in the morning, keep me under the shadow of the cross today. In Jesus' name, amen.